part of everything that's going on, because it's always a great blessing to me. And I didn't have no trouble what to pick to teach on the day Poyman called me up. I think it was Tuesday morning or Wednesday. And it's going to be about faith that works by love in Galatians 5:6. Circumcision don't avail anything. Uncircumcision don't avail anything, but faith that works by love, which ultimately points us to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when Kevin got up and read about the verse in Matthew, that he that does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Okay, he's not worthy to be a disciple. But that word worthy, when you look it up, the first definition you get there is about a weight. It's a balance. It's a just weight. So when you get the picture of the scale, okay, and you're not operating in faith that works by love, okay? And just to reiterate a point, every time I'm using that verse right there, okay, we love Him because He first loved us in 1 John 4:19. Okay? So it always points to God, who became a man, loved me, and gave Himself for me. That's how this love works, by constantly beholding the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it's one of my favorite verses for me, and it's, "But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as it were in a glass, the glory of the Lord." Okay? Are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, but you're beholding the glory of the Lord. All God, all man, one person. It's Himself. Okay? And when the Lord's getting ready to go to the cross, when Judas betrays Him, He says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." So it points you back to the cross, to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But when you're not doing that, you know, when you're not worthy of me, the weight's off. You don't got a just balance anymore. Okay? It's not the standard weight of the sanctuary that God has in a Old Testament, in a tabernacle. There is one weight. The shekel according to the sanctuary. Okay? So just always be thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we go to Acts chapter 5, I think it's verse 42. "And every day, and in the temple, from house to house, they cease not to preach and to teach the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's His full title. The Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you shut your eyes and just think about that for just a little while. And it should get you excited. Okay? And it's just so, so precious. But in Acts 11, in verse 26, okay? But I'm going to start in verse 25, okay? "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch." The disciples. Don't say believers. It says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They assembled for a whole year. Just think about a year ago today, you guys have been assembling together, and all the different things, like Russ is giving thanks for things that he sees going on. And it's beautiful to see, because it's a body thing. Everybody's putting in something, and even somebody that you might not see doing things, that one's back there praying. Okay? They might be confined in however circumstance they are, but they're praying. Okay? When I was here last time, and I taught on John chapter 11, and the sisters sent word to Jesus. They knew where He was at. That man's never mentioned who had to take that letter to deliver it. It's here's an unnamed saint that he took the letter. There's an unnamed saint praying, you know. So, but the disciples were first called Christians. You're assembling together. Things are happening on. You're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Everybody made a decision to get up today, to come here, to sit here, partake, listen. It's a blessing, but it's a decision. It's giving of your time. It's giving of yourself. Okay? It's part of being a disciple. A disciple is a learner. He's a pupil. He's a follower. And a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a tape by Poyman on the rules for discipleship. Man, it's real confronting, you know. You're saying like, man, well, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this. But there's a growing and learning too, because the disciples in the New Testament, they're always making mistakes. They're always blowing it. They've got a wrong understanding. The Lord's got to correct them and teach them, just like us. And the only reason I'm going this route and using these things is because of five words. Okay? We'll start in John chapter 13. Okay? Five words. The disciple whom Jesus loved. So you can put the emphasis on disciple. Okay? You can put the emphasis on he whom Jesus loved. Okay? The first time we're going to hit it, the word agape is used right there. But you're reading along the Gospel of John, okay, and all of a sudden you just come to this. How many of us would write out something and instead of putting down Kevin, instead of putting down Russ, instead of putting down Jed, instead of putting down Joan, you're going to write there, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's what I want to get across for you to think of yourself that way. Okay? You're the disciple whom Jesus loved. In Psalm 73, Psalm said, man, he almost slipped. His feet went out. Okay? But it wasn't until he went in the sanctuary of God and viewed things from God's perspective that it was okay. You know, this man's a believer. He's a disciple. And he's looking at all the injustices and things going on in the world. He's looking. He says, man, I got all kinds of troubles. He says, I got afflictions. I'm plagued every day. And he's getting ready to complain. And it's weird. But he goes into the sanctuary of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, but don't lose sight of this to think the disciple whom Jesus loved. Who's Joan Metcalf? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Who's Paul B? Who's Nathan? Matthew? The disciple whom Jesus loved. See, it's past tense. Okay? John's writing out his gospel. The death, burial, resurrection has all taken place. He's looking back to a particular point. The disciple whom Jesus loved. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Past tense. Okay? When we get to the book of Revelation, to Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Past tense. Points to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think of the cross, see, it's Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. See, it's not an empty cross. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's, they go together. Okay? And He is risen. But, you know, to really think here, because when I first studied this out for me, I don't know, about a month ago, came real quick, but, you know, it's like, when it happened, I had just listened to the tape on the rules for discipleship. And, you know, and you're just looking at all these things that you could have done better that maybe you're not doing, okay? And it's like, man, can I call myself a disciple whom Jesus loved? But when you look at Antioch, and the church is assembling together for a whole year, the church are believers, the body of Christ, okay? And we know what the apostles taught. The Lord Jesus Christ. They proclaimed Him. They taught Him. And the disciples are first called Christians there. And see, a lot of times we'll think of the word Christian, but we don't hook up being a disciple with it. Okay? So, when you're going to look at this, the disciple whom Jesus loved, in contrast to Peter. I've never, just over the last couple of days, John and Peter are mentioned a lot together. I never realized how much until I just went over things the last couple of days here with this. And Peter says, Lord, I'll never deny You. I'll lay down my life for You. Okay? And there is a phileo love there that I see. Okay? He has this affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And he, you know, when he comes to arrest him, he pulls out his sword. Okay? And see, that affection for the Lord Jesus Christ that he has, you know, think of somebody who's a really good friend. Maybe it's a wife to a husband, whoever. But you're going to lay down your life for this person. I'm going to die for this person. Okay? There's this friendship there, but it's not according to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Remember Matthew 16? Hey, I'm going to go to the cross. Okay, they're going to deliver me to the elders. I'm going to suffer many things. And Peter, far be it from You, Lord. This will never happen to You. Okay? See, it's going to hinder the cross. When Peter pulls out the sword to defend Him, what's it going to hinder? Him going to the cross. That's things that be of men, not of God. Okay? Jesus Christ in Him crucified. Paul said, you know, when you read in 1 Corinthians 1:18 and everything, and you keep reading, that's the testimony of God. Okay? Paul's among them in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Okay? You don't want to get this message wrong. You don't want to mess up here with this. Okay? He's determining not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, for I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come using the fancy words, long speeches, stuff like that. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. And just have like a little bit of holy imagination, the courtroom in heaven is set. It's a legal situation here. Okay? Here's the witness stand. And we're going to call the first witness. Okay? And it's God. This is my testimony to the whole world. And it's that little Greek word gar, explanatory gar. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what John's looking at here. Okay? He's looking back. And yes, they're with the Lord. He's correcting them. They're doing things. They're growing and they're seeing that love. But it points back to the cross where it's really going up. Okay? So John chapter 13, verse 23, we'll start in 21. When Jesus had said thus, He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray Me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom He spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to Him that He should ask who it should be of whom He spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto Him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it's Him whom I shall give this up when I have dipped it. Okay, we got the Last Supper going on here. Okay, John is close to the Lord Jesus Christ here. They're reclining at the table, however they recline, on what side, okay? But why does He refer to Himself that way there? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Why does he do that? Why does he get it like that? And that word there's the word agape. Okay? It's the love of devotion. It's the love of self-sacrifice. And it's sacrifice, yeah, but that love's willing to do that. It's not going to even think about it. It's going to do that. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ is like. But Peter, okay, remember Peter, Peter has this affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. He really likes him. If any man does not like phileo, the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. So Peter likes him. He's just not operating according to the cross. Okay? It's what I'm going to do for the Lord. You know, Doug says to Jesus, I'll never deny you. I'm willing to lay down my life for you. Jesus says, are you really? Before tonight's over, you'll deny me 3 times by some young girl. Hey, you were with him. See, now, live for the Lord Jesus Christ, not denying him. Okay? So, I'm bringing this out because you've got to have this distinction here. Peter is in this love, and he really does have this affection for Christ. But it's not according to the cross. Okay, John here, when he brings this out, the disciple whom Jesus loved, past tense, writing out his gospel, John is viewing Jesus Christ and him crucified. When you're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, you're close to the Lord as you can get. You're there. Okay? And you can ask him questions. You can talk to him. You have that intimate fellowship. And Brandon sitting over here, he's kind of beckons or nods. Ask him who it is. He's not quite close enough. Okay? And we all got to learn. Okay? But the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's one point. Get as close to him as you can get. And the Lord's going to bring other people into your life. And you're going to build them up with a verse. Okay? Or you might have to rebuke them with a verse. Okay? But notice Peter and John, Peter's beckoning to John. Okay? So they have a closeness. They were all fishermen. I personally think they knew each other because of business. Okay? So John chapter 13, and let's shoot up, okay, to John chapter 19. But one thing I want to make clear, you know, when you start out in John chapter 13, it says, Jesus, having loved his own, loved them to the end. So he loves them all. We don't doubt that one bit, okay? When you go to Luke 22, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you, Russ. With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you, Bob. We have the Lord's Supper. We don't talk like that today. With desire have I desired, God in flesh, perfect humanity. You know, sometimes I think about the judgment seat of Christ. I'm standing before a perfect man. And he gave up all of his rights. You know, as a man. So you got all God, all man, okay? With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you, Jerry. That's humbling. Okay? So, he loves them all. So, John chapter 19. Okay? Let's start in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Okay? So we got, how many women we have there? Mary, Mary, Mary. Okay, 3 Marys and a sister. But verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. Okay? Got one disciple. I mean, you got the women, they're disciples too. But one man here at the cross. John. See, when you're viewing yourself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, where are you close to? The cross. You're staying near the cross. You're beholden stuff that's going on at the cross. Okay? And you're just standing there and you're beholden the Lamb of God. You're beholden Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You're beholden part of the glory of the Lord here in the crucifixion. Okay? Who? You, the disciple whom Jesus loved. One minute He's near to Christ at supper. Okay? Now we're at the cross. Okay? Where's all the other disciples? The men. John's here. Okay? He's near the cross. And being near the cross, you're close to the Lord, you're near to Christ, He gives you a command to do. Because you're near the cross. You're beholding the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm beholding this. Thus, you get a commandment. Okay? Love one another as I have loved you. Okay? By this will all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love one to another. Okay? So, you're the disciple whom Jesus loved. Main point I'm trying to get across with this, you're just viewing the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you, for me. You know, we talk about being unworthy. Okay, and a lot of us, you know, but I'm 54 now, and you go through periods of time where the Lord just covers all kinds of stuff in your life, little things that you don't think about. And you feel like, really, you feel like the most unworthy person in the whole world, that you're not even worthy enough to save. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, you are to me. Right? See, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So you're at the cross. I can give Joan something. Okay? I can give Rush something. Brandon's not there. He's going through the religious. He's not thinking about... He's serving God in all kinds of different ways. But it's not according to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's not according to the faith that works by love. Okay? Now here's the lady at the cross. They're at the cross. And the Lord provides for His mother. He provides for the woman. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So He makes that provision. You got brethren at the cross. Something comes up. Okay? Doug and Sharon need prayer. Everybody prays. Nathan needs financial help. Somebody's in a Ruby's in a hospital, we've got to go visit her. Okay? And they're all at the cross. That's where the fellowship is. Okay? So the Lord's going to use this one to minister. And the other one, He's going to use, you receive that ministration of that brother, the administration from that brother or sister in Christ Jesus. And you're both dealt out because you're focused on the cross. Okay? So, that was 19. Let's pop up here to chapter 20. Okay? So the first time, supper, they're in the upper chamber, the upper room. Okay? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Okay? Next you're at the cross. That's agape there too. Third time here, John 20. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the grave, and seeing the stone taken away from the grave. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter, okay, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the grave, okay, and we do not know where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went forth, okay, and that other disciple, and came into the grave. So you got Peter and John, right? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay? They bring the news. The Lord's taken out of the grave. Okay? But she first came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay? Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they both ran together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher, the grave. Okay? The disciple whom Jesus loved there is the word phileo, the one he has affection for. So God's not only got agape love for us, okay? That phileo love, that love of affection for me also. Okay? So you're looking at this. John's, the upper room, supper, cross. Okay? Here, the taking away the body. The disciple whom Jesus loved, did he outrun Peter? He outran Peter. That's what it says right there. Okay? So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Okay? And came first to the sepulcher. When you're focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, okay, faith that works by love. Remember Paul? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Okay? The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul's whole motivation right there. So I don't frustrate the grace of God. I don't want to make it void. Paul just loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, John looks at that love. See, you don't see John saying how much I love him, what I've done for him. John's totally focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified and His love for me. When John was at the cross, okay, he could have got in trouble being there. Hey, you were with him. We're taking you too. You know, he's there. That, when you're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, think you're going to do stuff without thinking. You're just going to serve. Okay, and when I was in the service, I was in a dog unit, and I never thought I was brave. I cared about my dog. I had phileo for my dog. Because I've got my dog loose. It's pitch black out. And we're outside the barbed wire. And I'm just running after my dog. I didn't even think there's going to be three guys over here with machine guns. I'm just going after my dog. Because my dog was my buddy. I mean, he was part of you. He helped me. You know, he protected me. Okay? I had a great dog. But here, just because I cared about my dog, you know, I'm off. Okay? Pitch black. You know what you're going to run into. Okay? We live on a dark planet. Okay? You're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Okay? Kevin's operating in his own love for the Lord. Not based on His love for you, but your love for Him becomes the object. Okay? And Russ, you're going to outrun Kevin. Okay? So, that was chapter 20. Verse 4, so they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes and the napkin that was lying about his head. Okay. And it says, then went in all the other disciple, which came to the sepulcher, and when he saw, he believed. Don't say nothing about Peter believing right there. Okay. But what I want you to see something here, they're at the Last Supper. Peter beckons to John. Okay? John is asking the Lord something because another brother asked. He cares about Peter in Christ Jesus. Okay? Peter's not present right there at the cross, but next time you see them together, he runs up there. Who's he wait for? Simon Peter. He waits for the other brother. Okay? John, remember John and James asked where they could sit? Okay? Hey, can we sit at your right hand in heaven? Really, their mother asked, okay? Okay? But you don't see him doing that no more. You don't see him pushing himself to the front anymore. He's waiting. He knows Peter's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he waits for the brother. Okay? So, 20, then let's go down to 21. Chapter 21. This is after the resurrection. They're out fishing all night long. Okay? And we'll start verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I'm going fishing. They said unto them, we'll go with you also. They went forth and entered a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find. They cast therefore, now they were not able to draw it, for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. When you're focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you don't get familiar with God who became a man. Died for me. You know, He's my Lord, my God, my Savior. He's our Lord, our God, our Savior. It's a me thing, yeah, but it's a we thing too. Okay? And I'm just focused on the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get spiritual discernment. None of the other disciples are saying it is the Lord. I mean, when you think about it, you know, they went through this before. Cast your net to the right side of the boat. Had 153 fishes in it. You know, you're out here fishing. Okay? Some stranger. You know, cast your net on the right side of the boat there. Got a big draw of fishes. And they're, you know, then getting it. John has the spiritual discernment. The disciple whom Jesus loved. When that becomes you, you have that spiritual discernment. You got the closeness. You're in the upper room. You're at the cross. Okay? You're at the resurrection tomb. The other side of resurrection here. Okay? Nathan, it's the Lord. Okay? You're going to listen to somebody preach. Okay? Brandon's getting bored there. Just focused on it. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Brandon whispers to Jen, I ain't getting much out of this. Brandon, it's the Lord. Okay? Why? Because I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay? Now we'll go, still continuing in chapter 21. And we go through everything about the Lord asked Peter three times, you know, do you love me? And we get into the agape and phileo thing right there. Okay? Peter's got some growing, but I'd just like to point out again, you know, you have Peter and John at the tomb. Peter and John in the upper room. You got Peter and John out here on the lake. And John don't jump off. He tells Peter, it's the Lord. Okay? He wants to build the brother up. Minister to that other brother. Hey, can I become nothing so Russ can go forward in Christ? Can I become nothing that Matthew can go forward in Christ? Can I become nothing as a husband to my wife? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Okay? What's it like to be a wife in the Lord? Okay, we're a spouse as a chaste virgin unto Christ. So men, what kind of wife are you to the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, just to give you another viewpoint to maybe look at that someday on your own. But the disciple whom Jesus loved. Corden, who are you? Who are you? Man, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know, we're going to go out and have a blitz. I'm coming. Okay, Brandon's home praying.
Well, Brandon ain't here.
Now he's home praying.
Okay?
It's a body principle. It's a he thing. But it's a we thing because we're part of the body. Okay? So, you get through all that, and I personally believe and am persuaded that John heard the conversation. He pens it down here. Okay? So, they're walking along. You know, we'll start in verse 17. He said unto them the third time, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I phileo you. I have affection for you. I ain't going to boast no more about my love for you. I'm not going to boast no more what I'm going to do for you. That's out of my hands now. I boasted before and blew it and denied you three times. Now, Peter's beat. I mean, he's hurt. You know, if that is anyone, that'd break you up. And Russ is going to come build me up. Nathan's going to come build me up. You know, it's the Lord. Peter's gone. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So, you can see the body principle right there. So that conversation goes on, you know, and he says, feed my sheep, you know. You're the man for the mystery. I'm putting you in a minute. You feed my sheep, okay? And we're sheep. We're sheep. Jerry's a sheep. Judy's a sheep. Okay? We're led as sheep to the slaughter. Okay? That Christ might be magnified in my body, I died 80. We are sheep led to the slaughter. Okay? Because of the chief sheep, the chief shepherd. Okay? Truly, truly, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked wherever you wanted. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall guide you and carry you where you don't want to go. Verse 19, this he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Ain't that something? By what death you should glorify God. Whatever it may be, we don't know. Don't know. You know, Bob might live to be 100. I might live to be 55. Joe might make it to 60. Whatever way, okay? You know how to glorify God in that death, though, when that time comes, whatever way. I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. And it's easy to focus on that when everything's going well, but when your life's falling apart and things are going bad, just like these people that lost this little child, they probably crushed. But to get that person to think, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Yeah, there's hurt there, and I'll go see that baby one day. And that's a real hurt. Okay? But to view yourself, see, this viewing yourself as it's a lifelong thing. The Lord says, hey, time come home, Joe. Okay? It's a lifelong thing. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay? Verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Okay? That's this big thing, you know. I'm getting really put back in a ministry by the Lord. He's building me up. Okay, I don't know if Peter's seen it all just yet. Okay? But you can see there's a fellowship between Peter and John. Okay? And we're walking along. Okay? Last Supper. Okay? Peter had to beckon to John. Now Peter's close to the Lord, isn't he? He's walking with him. Hey, what about Jerry? What's he going to do? What about Jed? What about Ruby? What about Shannon? What are they going to do? Okay? Then Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrays thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said, what's that to you? What's that to you, really? Okay? Follow thou me. See? When you read that in verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, what? Following. When you're viewing yourself and you're all caught up with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're viewing yourself as a disciple whom Jesus loved, what are you doing? Following. The Lord's got to rebuke Corum for something. He's got to take Bob and build him up a special, whatever. I'm following. You know, John's not worried about Peter. Peter's worried about John, though. The Lord just says, you know, the wise man hears a rebuke. What's that to you? Follow me. So the disciple whom Jesus loved is following. Okay? So that's five times. And I don't get into scripture numerology much, but you got mercy. M-E-R-C-Y. G-R-A-C-E. L-O-V-E-D. T-R-U-T-H. You're all caught up with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He loved me and gave Himself for me. So when you're going to write out your little gospel tonight, and when you're going to sign it, can you sign it? This is the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jed writes me a letter in the mail and he don't put his name on it. He says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And you say, man, who's that? And you got to think of the whole assembly. It's a different way to build people up. Okay? So, and we'll end here. Verse 24. This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things. And listen to this. And I know that his testimony is true. Don't say that. And we know his testimony is true. See, it's the body thing. It's a we thing. It's not a me thing. It's a him thing. And we're all part of that body. And I'm to build you up. You're to build me up. We pray for each other. If you got to come up and rebuke me, smite me. Okay, let the righteous smite me. It'll be a kindness. You know, I don't like that, sister. We don't think that way, but when it really happens. Okay? The disciple whom Jesus loved. You know? Do you ever think about love your enemies? Do good to those who persecute you and despitefully use you. Do you ever think about love your enemies? Know why? Because we were enemies of Christ. In Ephesians, okay? And in Colossians, enemy in our minds by wicked works, okay? Ungodly, in Romans. Sinners, but God commands His love towards us. Okay, in that He, what? Loved us. Jesus Christ and Him. See, I was an enemy of God. Now He says, love your enemy. And if I'm not the disciple whom Jesus loved, when you come up and you do something that hurts me and it's bad, I'm going to look at me right away. I want to quit looking at, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. See, that's where everything comes from. That faith that works by love. Okay? Faith that works. Nothing else avails. Nothing else matters. It's faith that works by love. And I'm just going to read this one last verse and we're down here. It was Ephesians, I think it is. Yeah, Ephesians 6. Okay. Yeah, Ephesians 6. 23. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Okay? But it's there. It's faith with love. Faith that works by love. Okay? They go together. And that love, we all know, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He loved me. Can I say, as Joe Heranica, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. And can I remember that Nathan is the disciple whom Jesus loved. That Jed, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That Scott's the disciple whom Jesus loved. And say, Father in heaven, we just thank you for this little bit of time together. And we just ask you to help us to open up our
understanding to view ourselves not in pride but in humility as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen.